Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Crazy Old Man in His Attic, episode 58. Wilbon, we're going to start with baseball, specifically Blake Snell, who recently won the Cy Young with Tampa Bay. He went on social media to announce his opposition to the proposed 50-50 split between the owners and the players. And he said, among other things, and these are direct quotes, "For me to take a pay cut is not happening because the risk for me is way through the roof. I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine, okay?" Unquote. He later said he realized what he said might be taken and perceived as greedy. So, Wilbon, what do you think of Blake Snell at the moment?
Tony, I don't know Blake Snell. And, you know, I don't want to necessarily just judge somebody entirely by his worst moment. Let's hope this is his worst moment. Because he seems so offensively unplugged from what is going on in the world. And, you know, this notion of it's risky. Well, dude, if it's risky, if you mean you care about the risk, you'll come out and say, "I'm not playing at all. Not for $7 million, not for $3.5 million. I'm not playing because there's risk." And I would respect that. But I don't respect anything you said. Again, it's just, it's offensively unaware. And you wonder, like, wow, can somebody be this unaware of how stupid he sounds now?
There is the great small phrase, tone deaf. This is the definition of tone deaf. As 80,000 people and more have died already, as millions are out of work, and this guy's saying, "I got to get mine." So if you want to put a face on the players for a dartboard and say, "This is the worst of it," you now have Blake Snell's face. I was wondering what Tony Clark would say to defend him or spin this, because as I told you the other day, when Tony Clark specifically said the owners were using the pandemic to force in a salary cap, I found that a slanderous statement. In this particular, I mean, all you have to do is talk about health and safety. You can't just say, "I'm willing to forego health and safety if you pay me everything." And by the way, if you work half the games, why do you think you're going to get 100% of the money? You're not, and the owners aren't. This is
clueless on every level.
It's so stupid and clueless, right? Yeah.
And you wonder, is he paying attention to anything else? Is he only on looking at Instagram? Or is he paying attention? And even on Instagram, there are worthy posts where people are talking about something substantive. And you wonder if any of that is going into his head, Tony. But you know what? I don't know that we're not going to hear. Look, people are going to take great measures now to be careful about what they say. But I don't know that the core of the sentiment won't be coming in part from other players and owners. Is this how they feel? Is this just unedited?
I'm going to say this, that it seems to me very possible that a lot of players feel like this, but you cannot say this and no other player can endorse this specific message.
No. We can agree on that. And apparently one thing that players and owners can agree on, at least at the moment, Tony, is the designated hitter. MLB Network is reporting that the universal DH will be adopted for this season. So no more pitchers batting in National League games. Is that okay by you?
We've had two sets of rules, I think, for close to 50 years now. I grew up, the baseball that I grew up with, the baseball that I believed in, everybody played the field and everybody batted. I like that. I've always been a National League fan. I was a Giants fan. I was a Mets fan. I'm a Nats fan. So I like to see pitchers hit or be taken out. I like the strategy for managers to see what they do next, to see how quickly they go to a bullpen. But honestly, Mike, honestly, I think two sets of rules is worse than me not getting the one set of rules that I want. So if they go to this, I don't like it, but I'll be okay with it. How about you?
You know, strangely enough, Tony, I grew up with both leagues. You know, I went to both ballparks in Chicago and watched games as a kid and a teenager. And when they made the switch, I guess I was about 14 or 15 years old, I kind of like having the two sets. I've always been okay with the National League staying that way and the American League having the DH. I like both of them, but I do prefer the National League pitcher batting. Maybe because I was a pitcher as a kid in high school and I wanted to hit too. Tony, I have trouble getting worked up over anything that is, you know, just sort of specific to a sport right now, given that I don't know when we're going to see this. I don't know if we're going to see this. We just got through talking about something that is much more important, which is owners and players finally getting together somehow to actually get a season if the world allows for it. So I have trouble getting worked up over this. I understand that once in play, it could stay in play. And if it does, I'm fine with it. But I'd also be okay with all pitchers hitting again.
Yeah, I think it's going to stay in play. And there's two reasons it's going to stay in play. One is that aging hitters really want this because it keeps them in the league at big money for a far longer time. They don't have to field and all they can do is hit. And pitchers, for example, who have pitched, say, in the American League for 5-6 years, go over the National League, they don't want to bat. And I mean, on a personal level, the team that I root for, the Nationals, it's good for them because Howie Kendrick can't play the field and he's a terrific hitter, even though they've got two pitchers who are good hitters in Strasburg and Scherzer. But Mike, I do think, I'll get off this now, I do think that if it comes in even for this year,
it will stay.
I think it stays. Let us go to our friend Joe Buck. Joe Buck calls the lead football game every week on Fox. And he believes that his network is working on piping in crowd sounds for games and even computer-generated people in the stands so the place looks full. He told SiriusXM, quote, "I think Fox needs to put crowd noise under us to make this a normal viewing experience at home." Wilbon, do you agree?
Yes. And, Tony, this fits something you've been saying for 40 years, the 40 years I've known you, which used to aggravate me. It still aggravates me 70% of the time when you say it, although I know 100% of the time you're right. It's all a television show. Who are we fooling here? And now you're moving closer to that. The stadium is just a studio. And for people who say, wow, well, how quickly is someone going to be able to react and press the button that brings the appropriate crowd noise with the appropriate action on the field? Are you kidding me? My son could be one of them. He'd be well paid. Because every kid in the world who's playing video games all day is so quick on the trigger, they'd be able to do this. Yes, Tony, they were pumping crowd noise into Salt Lake City Arena, the Delta Center, I think it was called then, 30 years ago during the playoffs. This is not a shock. It's not controversial. It's going to happen.
Here's the thing. There is no in-arena experience anymore. It is all a television show. And one of the things that sports in this particular period of time has to do is try to create normalcy among people who are watching television. Normal sports, they have people in the stands. Normal sports has noise. We are now forced to go to something artificial to create something normal, and I am for it. I mean, you know, for years in sitcoms, they would have a laugh track because it involved you in it. In a pandemic, Mike, we're not gathering at bars to watch games where you don't need this kind of artificial noise. We're either sitting alone or with one or two other people. And so I heartily endorse this.
Absolutely.
As crazy as it sounds, I heartily endorse it.
Yeah, it'd be better than what the alternative is going to be. Just looking at empty seats and hearing a pin drop. You don't want that. That's not going to do anything for your viewing experience.
Do you remember that game 20 or 30 years ago, the silent game, I think it was on NBC, and you weren't involved in it? The noise gets you involved. It does.
Absolutely.
It's good.
Absolutely. Tony, this is going to be sort of in your wheelhouse. We're coming to Washington, D.C. Georgetown leading scorer, Mac McClung, announced yesterday he has entered the NCAA transfer portal and will be leaving the Hoyas. Patrick Ewing was surprised by the decision, his coach, but wished McClung well. McClung is the fifth player to transfer away from Georgetown, out of Georgetown, since December. Tony, what, if anything, does McClung's decision say to you about Patrick and his time as coach at Georgetown?
Here's the critical sentence in what you said. He's the fifth player to transfer away. Now, some of those players were disciplinary problems, but they were still recruited by the Patrick Ewing administration. and you've lost the two guards that were the starters for a while, James Akinjo and Mac McClung. And this took Ewing by surprise because he said publicly a week or 10 days ago he thought McClung was going to return, and then McClung said they never even spoke about it. This is a serious thing because Mac McClung, he said he didn't want to leave, but, quote, I'm looking for a place I can call home. I think Patrick Ewing will come under scrutiny for this because he's got nothing coming back. And I know he's the greatest player ever at Georgetown, and I know people really wish him well and success, but this program seems to be eroding.
Yeah, see, Tony, I don't know. I don't want to assign anything to what a teenager says ever, and particularly in these situations. I want to look for a home for how long? He says, I want to look for a home until next week there's a release that says he's going to back in the NBA draft pool. I don't know what that means. I will say this, having covered Georgetown basketball on a daily basis for some years back when Patrick Ewing was playing and John Thompson was coaching. Remember how we always had those stories? We always had to go to Big John and ask him why so-and-so was leaving? And Big John would say, every place, everybody's not for every place, son. And some people don't need to be here, perhaps. And the program goes on. And there was always talk about, wow, the number of people who leave Georgetown. Now, I know that Patrick Ewing is not John Thompson, though they were joined at the hip at one point to produce what Georgetown is, even today, all these years later. But, Tony, I don't know yet. I want to see what Patrick Ewing brings in. Maybe McClung's transferring because there's other point guards coming in and he's worried about his playing time. I don't know. Going to the transfer portal, it seems like every third kid now in the NCAA goes to the transfer portal. So I'm not going to say this has any great reflection on Patrick Ewing in Georgetown yet. I'm going to give this a wait and see.
Okay, so I'm going to say this, that when your best players leave, that is a red flag situation. Patrick has been there for 3 years. He's 49 and 46. I don't think it'll get better this year. Maybe it will. This happened with Chris Mullin at St. John's. This happened with Clyde Drexler at Houston. Patrick Ewing had coaching experience in the NBA, but none in college. I don't think either you or I ever thought John Thompson III would be fired. And I think we both believe that Patrick Ewing was a smart and good choice to come back and recreate Georgetown. All I'm suggesting now is that it's going to be a little bit more difficult than perhaps people thought at the time.
More difficult. Certainly, I'm rooting for him. But difficult, Tony? Absolutely.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Here we go with the happies, kids. Happy 31st birthday, Rob Gronkowski. It was shocking enough when Tom Brady left the Patriots for Tampa Bay. Sorry, Tampa Bay. But the other shoe dropping was when Gronkowski ended his retirement to join Brady on the Buccaneers. Both are going to go to the Hall of Fame. Gronkowski may be the greatest tight end ever. In 9 seasons in New England, he scored 92 touchdowns, the most in Patriots history. He was first-team All-Pro 4 times before he turned 30. Gronk left the Patriots after their Super Bowl victory over the Rams. There was speculation he would pursue an acting career in action films like The Rock, but he turned up on Fox doing football analysis and in the WWE. All of those avenues still available to him down the road when he retires again. But by joining Brady, you know, on the Bucs, who were already the most watchable team in the NFL because of Brady, they're now more watchable. The NFL obviously agrees because they have scheduled Tampa Bay for the maximum primetime appearances, 5.
Yeah, Tony, I hope this works out as well as all the people gushing about it. You know, you come back from the kinds of injuries. I remember I watched recently, rewatched the clip of Gronk when he announced sometime after his retirement, he started crying. He was sobbing. And he was talking about how his body hurt and how he hurt spiritually in terms of dealing with the game of football and all the pain it causes. And I thought that was real. I thought it was as authentic as we can see a player in sort of that raw moment. I don't know that Gronk becomes the guy who goes out there and catches 90 passes for 1,000 yards again. I hope he's physically able to do it, but I'm not presuming it like everybody else seems to.
I think that's fair. Happy anniversary, New Orleans Pelicans. On this day last year, despite just a 6% chance of doing so, the Pelicans won the NBA draft lottery and the right to take Zion Williamson. There were no frozen envelopes involved. Most people seem to believe that it was just plain luck New Orleans got Zion, because it's not the way anyone in New York would have planned it, exiling Zion to the second smallest market in the league. Zion injured himself in summer league and again in training camp and missed the first 44 games, prompting worry that his great size and power would compromise his ability to stay on the court. But when he started playing, Zion was a revelation. In 19 games, he averaged 23.6 points, 6.8 rebounds in just 30 minutes a game. He shot 59% from the floor, 46% from three. The Pelicans were 18-27 without Zion, 10-9 with him. He probably won't win Rookie of the Year because he didn't play enough, but he is a full-fledged star already, Mike.
He is, Tony, and in presuming we see some NBA playoffs, we're not going to see Zion. Not right now, but you know what, Tony? I think all of this, meaning just the time away, could help him physically. I mean, he gets to, at some point again, maybe even soon, you know, train in the way that a professional trains, which is different from the way a kid in college goes about working out, and the people he has working with him, and the guys he's practicing against. I mean, you would presume, I will presume this, that Zion is going to be bigger and better when we get to see him again whenever the NBA resumes.
I love the happy trails today, Mike. Happy trails to my suggestion yesterday right here that Eric Dickerson might like the Rams' new uniforms. The Rambassador has weighed in, and it isn't good. Dickerson started out somewhat positive. He told AM570 LA, quote, "I'll say this, the colors are not bad, the uniform's not bad," unquote. And then the Rambassador went the other way in a hurry. Dickerson said, quote, "I just don't like the stripe around the sleeve. It's not big enough. It almost looks like a lightning bolt, like the Chargers uniforms. I don't like the stripe down the pants. I wish it was bigger. And the horn, man, it's horrible. I just feel like they took away from the Rams uniform, and it almost looks like the Chargers logo. It looks like two bananas. This is football. This ain't nothing to do with surfing. This ain't nothing to do with waves. This is football. This is a man's sport. And to me, it just looks soft. It don't look hard. It don't look football," unquote. And there is no word yet if the team is looking for a new Rambassador, by the way.
I love this, too. All right, I'm old and I'm old school, and Eric Dickerson might be about 18 months younger than me or something like that, but not much. And he's old and he's old school. And I love that. I know Eric Dickerson a little bit, Tony. I like him tremendously. And if, you know what? If the Rams are going to be so stupid as to want to part ways with Eric Dickerson, you know what? Eric Dickerson's life is good. He's just fine. Maybe they should listen more to him.
That is a great big block of quotes from Eric Dickerson. Great.
It is. It is. We have no more quotes.